I do believe in solving consumer needs before they even know that they exist. And I have to go to a company where that's part of their DNA as well, because I do believe the world does not sit still. People who sit still, companies who sit still, find themselves behind.
Hi, everybody. David Schwab here. I am super, super excited about this pod. Julie Masino, North American president for Taco Bell, friend from school, peer at the Cradle of Marketers from Miami, and she is so smart. I've been waiting to do this pod for a very long time because she shares great wisdom for all of you, but also for me too. Every time I listen to her, I learn. She's spent time at Starbucks over, I think, 12 years at Starbucks, Sprinkles, Cupcakes, Godiva, Coach, all in executive roles. But in this conversation, it's great. Really get into what her day is like, how she thinks, how she learns, what her inspirations are, the importance of mentorship and innovation, and just being a growth girl, not standing still, always trying to solve. I love this. Always trying to solve the consumer need before the consumer even knows they need it. Such a smart statement from her. We start the conversation talking about what it's like now and what happens the moment she wakes up every day.
First thing, I'm a snoozer, which is a terrible, terrible habit and not a habit of highly successful people, but I specifically set two alarms. I set one and then I give myself another, like, you know, 10 minutes to just like get my head into the day, wrap myself, and then I get out of bed. So I set two alarms every morning. They're about 10 minutes apart, but I get up early. I'm an early morning person. After spending, you know, you can't spend 12 years at a coffee company and not get in the habit of getting up and kind of getting going. So I get up. I'm usually up by like 5:30 at the latest. And I try to really be on a routine because my days are long and that's kind of, you know, really how I get through them. So get up. First thing I do is I do check email, right? So running a big brand like Taco Bell, lots of stuff can happen over the course of the night. We're open late. You know, I learned that at Starbucks too, because at Starbucks, you know, getting up at 5:30 in the morning, stores have already been open for an hour at that point in time. And depending on where you are in the world, stores are always open. So same with us at Taco Bell. Things are always moving and shaking. So the first thing I do is just check my email, make sure, you know, it's all good news and then kind of really get my day going at that point in time. So I wish I could tell you that I'm one of those people who gets up and works out every morning. I would love to be one of those people, but I'm a late in the day workout person because I like to get in and have some quiet time in the office before my day gets going. So that's actually why I don't work out in the morning, is because I prefer to actually have a moment to clean up anything that's come in from the time that I've gone to bed, to really making sure that I'm prepped and ready for my day. You know, so much of being a leader is being ready for my day and knowing, like, what's coming. Do I have an opinion on it? Am I prepped? Did I do all my pre-reads? You know, what else is going on in the world? And how does that impact my purview on the conversations that I'm having for that day and this week? And, you know, how else do I need to put things together for the team and make sure that I'm giving them as much context and direction and, you know, in all of those occasions. And then I want to make sure that I show up well. You know, again, so much of being a leader is inspiring the team and giving them my full attention. So for me, that first hour when I come in, I'm usually in the office by 7 a.m. in the morning, sometimes a little bit earlier, but by 7 a.m. And I usually don't take meetings until at least 8. On Fridays, I have a standing 7 a.m. call that I do, so I get in a little bit earlier that day. But I like to take that hour to really make sure I'm prepped and ready so that I can be my best self for my team all day long. And then usually by 8 o'clock, my day's going. On my way in, I stop at Starbucks and I get some coffee. I have my double tall non-fat bone dry cappuccino every single morning. It is really how I get my day going, not from a caffeine perspective, but more from a ritual perspective. Yep. I love to just kind of have that, and it's, you know, I worked there for a very long time, and so now I kind of don't know any other way. but, you know, come in, really go through those emails, get myself prepped for the day, and then I run from 8 o'clock in the morning usually till about 6 o'clock at night, depending on what the meetings look like and who I have coming in on any single given day. Yeah, and then around hopefully 6, I've got, you know, a little bit of time to clean out my email real quick before I leave, and then try to get home, get in a hike with my husband, go to a Pilates class, go to a yoga class, depending on what day of the week it is. You know, sometimes I have a work dinner, but really try to get some workouts in at the end of the day, and then spend some time with my husband. We usually make dinner together, or, you know, depending on what that evening looks like, and then back on email probably around 8 o'clock. You know, are there things that I need to read? Are there things that I need to do? Give myself an hour or two of that. I have found that, believe it or not, I actually need like an hour where I don't think. I need to just sort of decompress, and television is a great way for me to do that, you know, to just put something on and hang out on the couch or stretch on the floor while I'm watching TV, and just really trying to like let my mind be free for a little bit before I go to bed. So it's an important part, because I have found if I just keep going the whole day, I'm not my best self, and it's not my best thinking either. Like I need a little bit of time to decompress and for my mind to take in other things, other world events, or just, you know, culture, especially like the brands that I've worked on are so part of pop culture. And so knowing what's going on out there, like looking at different things, you know, in media or whatever that might be is really important also for me to just have that moment to kind of absorb and feel and put those things together in my mind as well.
Do you feel like you're always on Saturdays and Sundays, not just Taco Bell, but also Starbucks and Prior Life? I mean, you've not just early in the day you're talking about, but 7 days a week type of businesses too.
Yeah. I guess it's funny, as I get older, I keep asking myself this question, like, why am I such a masochist? Like I have friends who like have the weekends off and like, you know, do what they, you know, I am definitely, to your point, in a business that is 24/7. And so, And I wasn't really, well, I don't know, that's not true. I started in retail, and so it's I guess it's sort of been that way, and I kind of don't know anything else. But I definitely learned that at Starbucks. And, you know, at Starbucks, our mentality is we're always on because the stores are always open. You know, there's so many locations that are 24/7, and I had a ton of global jobs. So, you know, we're always open somewhere at that point in time. And Howard is such a great leader. He was definitely led by example in that regard. He's always available, always on, and you're always getting emails from him 24/7. So I kind of learned to always be on. What I try to do is make space, though, in those days. So, you know, people know now the great thing about technology is that if someone needs me, like, they know to text me. Like, that's the most urgent way to get me. I do try to unplug, though, and, you know, especially on the weekends, go for a hike or, you know, I always go to Pilates or yoga on the weekends for sure. That's an important, you know, at least I've got like an hour where like my phone is not on my body. You know, when I go on a hike out here in California, it's crazy. In California, you can pretty much still be connected to a cell tower even when you're out in the wilderness, which is insane. But I do try to decompress or build some time into my day where I'm not always on. But then I do just come on and back in and check in. And it's interesting because, you know, we had a little bit of a crisis last Friday, and it feels like crises always happen on Fridays, like right around 2 o'clock, you know? So then you end up dealing with them through the weekend. I'm really blessed here at Taco Bell and in other jobs that I've had as well, in that I have great teams who know their roles, know what to do, you know how to handle a lot of these things. So a lot of it for me at this point in time is more of an FYI and alignment and, you know, do we have all the right tonality and, you know, are things moving forward? Are we taking care of our teams? Are we taking care of our customers in these situations versus me physically kind of digging into the details of the work? So
I like your comment about going back to prior job at Starbucks and how Howard gave, you know, the leadership or inspiration or taught you a way to think, and Howard Schultz, but you are the Howard now, right? I mean, it's also awesome to hear you say that, but you are in that role now. And you talked a few minutes ago just about leadership and presenting yourself and being ready and prepared for your team. But that's a different role now in charge.
Yeah, it's one I've been spending a lot of time thinking about because I don't take the responsibility lightly. You know, I just came from talking to a group of, you know, people who work here at the RSC this morning, my team here, and, you know, we were talking about culture and, you know, and I challenged all of them because I do believe it starts with every single one of us, right? And I did learn a lot from Howard and the way he leads by example. And how to set the tone, and you know, and I believe in optimism. I believe in teamwork. I believe in positivity, and I try to bring that to every interaction. It doesn't mean that what we do isn't hard, and that they aren't hard decisions, and that, you know, driving a business this big and this complex is easy. But I find it incredibly rewarding, and I love the team sport of it. You know, and I'm ultimately, you know, a coach, right? So how do I, you know, inspire my team, put the right people in the right roles, and give them the tools that they need to be successful, you know, and really help try new plays, help run new plays, help think about new things and challenge them to be their best. And for me, a lot of that starts by holding a high bar for myself. You know, so I learned a long time ago to never ask anybody to do anything I wouldn't do. And I really try to lead by example in that regard. So.
And where do you think, you've obviously had incredible success from Fisher Price to Starbucks you're talking about and Sprinkles Cupcakes, and we can go on, but has it just been learning along the way, or mentors like Howard, reading on the side? Where's that learning come from that's, I guess, put you in the position now to say some of those things?
Yeah, that's a great question, Dave. I think, you know, gosh, I am just kind of a naturally curious person, so I'm really always observing and looking, and I had the gift of spending 12 years at Starbucks with some amazing leaders, but I had amazing leaders at other places I've been to. I think about, you know, when I was at Godiva, I worked for an amazing guy named Michael Simon, who taught me so much about being a leader in business, and a woman I worked for at Coach named Nancy Yaffa, who really like taught me the intricacies of a P&L. So I've had people who've invested in me. And so I really try to do the same for my team, but I also try to watch people and see how they think, how they move, like what inspires people. You know, I do read too. I ask a lot of questions. I've been also blessed to have some really great peers along the way. And for me, that's an amazing relationship. And one of the things I treasure most from my time at Starbucks, my peer group at Starbucks are so talented and such wonderful humans and leaders. And I'm so proud to now look at how successful they are in other industries. You know, some are still at Starbucks, but so many of them are CEOs of other companies as well. And, you know, so I can pick up the phone and call them or send them an email or a text, you know, things that I'm thinking about or, you know, that I'm curious how they handle things. You know, I think the other thing about me is while I'm a very confident human being, like my mom definitely raised me with a lot of confidence, I'm also not afraid to admit when I don't know something. Like I'm the person who will ask for directions because I would rather not waste my time. If I find that I'm totally lost, like it's more horrifying to me to waste my time than it is to ask somebody for help. And so I'm definitely one of those people who asks for help along the way. And I think that's served me pretty well.
My dad would always say, why do I have to remember anybody's phone number and clog my brain with it? I can just ask my mom or his wife what the phone number was. I remember that as a kid very, very well.
But, awesome.
But talking about peer groups, and you and I have been lucky to go back to Oxford and Miami to be part of this cradle of marketers and sit around with like-minded folks, buddies from college or people we've met prior or afterwards and learn from them. And we've got a lot of 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds and 22-year-olds in the audience. How do they become naturally curious, or if they're not naturally curious, to get those tools? Or I certainly think, and I always share, you look out and there's 200 people. There's your peer group. All of those guys are going to be CMOs and CEOs in 20 years, or who knows, for some of them in 2 or 3 years. But it's been fun to go back to college and campus to do that.
Although I'd love to go back and have a beer and do some of it all over again because it was a great time in life. But I don't think I realized that when I was there. And I definitely, you know, I'm so grateful for so many people that I've met along the way who are so willing to share and willing to help. Because I think when I first got out of college, like I wasn't there yet. You know, I was still like, oh my God, I have to succeed and I have to work and I have to do all these things. And that I'm grateful that people have given me the gift of their kindness and have welcomed me in a little bit later in life, because I don't think I was there and that I understood that at their age. So the advice I would give is just what you said, which is, hey, look around and make friends, and don't be afraid to ask for help and to lean in and to not be competitive with those people, that actually sharing knowledge and helping is actually a really powerful way to move yourself and others forward in life. And that's ultimately the most rewarding thing, is moving other people forward versus moving yourself forward. And it took me a while to absolutely learn that. You know, it's great that you actually mentioned that. Like, I literally reached out to Jenny Rooney last week. I was like, hey, I'm struggling with, or I'm thinking about this one issue right now, and I would love to like pick your brain about how you've seen other people do it, you know, just because she's so well networked and so smart in her own right. And, you know, it's such a gift to have those relationships. And I don't think I knew that early on. So I would definitely counsel people to nurture those and recognize that it is a gift.
Back when you were in school, you majored in communications. What was it? Were you? Was it the counselor said, "Well, here's something you want to do," or was there a job that you were thinking or a career when you were 22 or 25 that you wanted to get into, and that was going to be the major that got you there?
I wish I could say my life was more planned than it is. I have been, it's sort of that naturally curious and optimistic person that I am in general, right? Like, I just, not a lot of things scare me in life. And so I've always just like leaned in and thought that I could figure it out or I'd find a way or whatever. And I really didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, from the earliest age, my mother was like, you're going to college. And I was always super excited about that because I loved to learn. You know, it comes back to that naturally curious thing. I always loved school. I always did well in it. And I loved learning something new. I loved learning about the world. I loved learning about people. And I always wanted to see the world and experience new things. I'm super adventurous and curious in that way. So I really had no plan when I got to Miami. And that's the great thing about Miami, right? And the Miami plan is that you can explore lots of different things and really find your passion. And it's not that my passion was communication. I was like, oh God, I have to pick something. I sort of like this. It feels like I'm good at it. It feels like I'll be able to get a job in something, you know, if I major in this. It really wasn't any more thought out than that. And I really just found myself taking classes that I was drawn to. You know, while I don't have a marketing degree, I basically took a ton of marketing classes through, having a comm degree, a ton of marketing classes. I took a lot of women's studies classes. I just really took things that interested me and then went on a lot of interviews my senior year to just try to figure out what I could do and how I could leverage this. And I'm just always solving problems and putting things together. So I think I've been really lucky. It hasn't been planful, that's for sure.
And what was that first job from those interviews?
I started out in Macy's Executive Development Program. So I was recruited at Miami. Macy's used to run exactly that, an executive training program where they would teach you both sort of the business side of running retail operations as well as the people side of it. So you spent time as a store manager or sales manager as well as in the buying office, and it was a kind of career path. And I didn't particularly love retail or hate retail. For me, it was just like, wow, this sounds interesting. It sounds like something that I would enjoy. And for me, it was also an opportunity to move to New York City. And I had always lived in Ohio. And so for me, the chance to go somewhere new and see something new and experience that was absolutely addictive. And that's kind of been a hallmark of my career, is just saying yes to opportunities. I lived in China for a year for Starbucks because, you know, they asked me and I said yes, you know. And so for me, I haven't been, I've wanted to try new things and do new things, whether that's from a role, I've had analyst roles, I've had marketing roles, I've, done lots of different things. I've just always tried because I enjoy learning. And I think, especially if you want to do more, if you want a bigger role where you're running businesses, understanding those different pieces and taking some of those rotational jobs, whether they're in supply chain or they're in finance or, you know, they're in marketing when that's not your specialty, is really helpful because it makes you a better leader, I believe. It makes you more well-rounded.
Tom Fox, who is the president of the San Jose Earthquakes and the MLS, was on the pod a couple weeks ago, and he fully subscribes to your comment, just saying yes, your comment of leaning in. Just try to experience and learn. You're going to be working for quite some time. The more you can understand and learn geographies and cultures and languages and different parts of the world and business disciplines can only benefit you and get you to really an end goal faster.
Yeah, and I also think along the way, like, while it helps you for the end goal, it makes you a better human, right? Because it just widens your lens. It widens your perspective. It helps you see that there's not only one way. It helps you understand human behavior and negotiate better and get to win-wins and to see how people behave differently and what those cultural norms are and aren't. So I also just think it makes you a better human. And it's hard as a woman, right? Like, I think, you know, when you have children or you have other responsibilities, like, you know, Sheryl Sandberg, you know, talks a lot about, you know, in her book Lean In, like how you actually build that network. But I think even as a woman or as a man or anybody in our society, like making sure that you have a network so that you can say yes is really, really important. Because I think sometimes in life we find that we can't say yes. And it's happened to me in my career when I couldn't always say yes. Right, when I had something else, you know, going on in my personal life that I couldn't say yes. And that's okay, but make sure that you can make space so that you can at another time. And make sure that your company knows that it's not that you're saying no, you're saying not now, right?
Mm-hmm. When looking at where you've worked, I mean, there's some iconic brand names here for sure. But I also think when I look at them, from Taco Bell now to Starbucks and Sprinkles and others, innovation, that word kind of screams at me for all of these types of companies. They seem to be market leaders in innovation or willing to try something different, kind of forecasting what the future is.
Absolutely. I mean, I am definitely a growth girl. I am all about innovation. I am fully addicted to new. I recognize the power of it as a marketer, as a business leader. But it is true. I always, you know, I've been fortunate enough in my career that my phone has rung. And I always ask myself, gosh, is this a brand that I'm passionate about? Do I believe in them? Do I believe in their future? Do I believe in what they're doing? Do I think that they're creating change and goodness in the universe? And those things guide my choices. Again, I've been super fortunate, but I do believe in solving consumer needs before they even know that they exist. And I have to go to a company where that's part of their DNA as well, because I do believe the world does not sit still. People who sit still, companies who sit still, find themselves behind. It's one of the key reasons I came to Taco Bell. I feel like this great brand is all about, like, reinventing the playbook, right? How do they really know intimately and passionately who their consumer is and how to continue to inspire them and be a part of their lives in new and fun ways? So I'm super excited to be here and help this team continue to craft the future of what's an amazing brand.
That was a great conversation with Julie. So happy to have her on. You could bottle that 20 minutes, tape that 20 minutes, and turn it into a TED Talk. So much information and knowledge about leadership and learning and thinking and culture and bringing a team together. I really enjoyed her talking about having Howard Schultz as a mentor and learning about leadership, because that's the role she's in now at Taco Bell. And for sure, she will succeed. She is a winner, and I am very, very grateful to have her on the pod. Really appreciate everybody listening and sharing the information. Go visit Taco Bell. Support Julie. I will see you guys at Skipper's. Talk soon.